It would be really nice. It would be so nice. Gosh, it would be so nice.
What's up, nerds? It's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I'm joined by my trusted co-host, the Nico Harrison burning the Dallas Mavericks organization on fire to getting rewarded with the number one pick. It's Adam Amwala. Adam, how's it going?
Totally vindicated. You know, he's just listening to Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional on repeat right now.
It's just...
He doesn't deserve it.
No, it's a tough situation. So for anyone unaware, the NBA draft lottery happened recently. It's for teams that didn't make the playoffs. I wouldn't be familiar with the process. I've forgotten in the past three years.
You've changed.
I used to be so locked into the lottery. What happened was the Dallas Mavericks had a 2% chance of getting the first pick because they barely missed the playoffs. And they ended up winning, meaning they're getting Cooper Flagg, who's supposed to be a generational, one of these LeBron, Anthony Davis,
Zion,
super consensus. Yeah, except Zion hasn't really panned out. So,
but in terms of how highly touted they are coming
into
the draft.
Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, one of these 100%. So they won. And it's this tough thing where I feel very happy for Mavs fans because it wasn't fair what happened to them, just some dude destroying their franchise.
They're the only ones I feel happy for. I'm not happy for Nico at all.
Right. Nico, the guy who did the aforementioned destruction, he does not deserve it because he goofed and he should have to live in the crap that was his goof for years to come. And now he won't have to. And if anything, the Mavs get a pass if they're bad going forward, because we got Cooper. Mm-hmm. And in a normalish world, they should have not won the draft lottery.
No.
And then it's here's the team that you said was supposed to be better than Luka. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have worked and it would have been embarrassing and yada, yada, yada. We'll get into this.
And some people think the fix is in, but we'll discuss that in full court press.
Yeah, we'll get into that. So let's get ready to do it. Let's get ready in the Tomb Memorial locker room, which is a bathroom and a changing area and a vanity section that just is all together supporting the right people, not undeserving people.
I like that. I like that. It's a bathroom first and everything else after. The bathroom's particularly nice because it features Dr. Teal's soaps and products. Sponsor us.
Of course. Please do. Please do.
Yes.
But you know who kind of does sponsor us?
I would say our patrons.
Our patrons are the most direct of sponsorship in the fact that you are directly giving funds to help the show because it costs money to make the show. So thank you to everyone who supports, but thank you especially to our producer-level patrons supporting at the highest tier. Polly Burridge, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steve Nuggets, Anna Reed, saying Steph Curry for three feels melancholy.
Bang.
Yeah. Hi, Allie. Chase Underulo. Naked Rachel. Sidney Crosby is a vampire. Chelsea's cousin. Ginger Spurs boy. Balls to the walls. Mots Furley. And Utah Jash. And you know who is actually truly sponsoring this episode?
Our sponsor.
It is our sponsor, and that sponsor is Tap for a Cause. Super simple. You go to tabforacause.org/horse. A couple of clicks, it's installed into your web browser. Every time you open a tab, you get a very pretty picture. You might see some ads in the corner. Those ads raise money for charity. You choose what charities get supported. It's great. You're already going to open a bunch of tabs anyway. Tab check. I have one tab open because I'm afraid of the internet at the place we're staying in Switzerland not being great.
Sure. And I similarly am afraid of my audio getting messed up, which happens sometimes. So I'm not going to click on the Chrome thing that I have. However, mm-hmm. I'm going to say conservatively at least 18.
Look, so you can channel that energy of tabs into charity, and why not? So go to tabforacause.org/horse to do that today. All right, now, unless you're listening on Patreon, where you don't have to listen to any inserted ads, you're going to hear some inserted ads. They're inserted locally. They might be in your country's native language. Perhaps that's not English. Once those are complete, though, we'll get back into this episode of Horse, unless you're listening on Patreon, where we're going to get right into this episode of Horse. All right, Adam, what do you got?
Yes, my next upcoming bigger show, as you're listening to this, is in Los Angeles. That is officially official. That is on Thursday, May 29th at the Skunk Room, not my favorite name, but nevertheless, the Skunk Room at the Elysian Theater, which is a, you know, pretty prestigious place out in LA. That is on Thursday, the 29th at 8 o'clock, one show only. It's a pretty small room. I think it only holds like 60 people. So my hope and intention is to sell it out. If you're in the LA area, I hope you can make it. The next night and following three nights, I will be in Montana. So on the 30th, I'll be at Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman. Then I'm doing some smaller shows in Helena and Townsend on the 31st and the 1st. Then I go right from there to Las Vegas, where I will be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club from June 2nd through 8th. And then the next thing I have after that is Chicago. That is July 17th through 19th. Jamestown, New York for the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival, August 8th and 9th. Wethersfield, Connecticut, September 12th and 13th. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on September 20th. And Columbus, Ohio on September 26th. I don't think tickets are available for that most recent one, the Columbus one, but everything else should be on sale. And what about you? Have you done the Zurich shows yet, or are they upcoming?
I have not. And this episode is going to come out on like the 20th, right? So they won't have happened by the time people have listened. So got two shows happening in Zurich. We've got one for Potterless on Saturday the 24th, and then one for TNO on Sunday the 25th. The Potterless one's in a smaller room. The TNO's in a bigger room. The Potterless one's at 6 p.m. The TNO one is at noon. So come on through. Enjoy. If you want to travel, please do. I would appreciate it. It's the only show I'm doing in Europe this year, and I have no idea the next time I'm coming back to Europe. Kelly and I are here in Switzerland on vacation, adding some shows at the end. I do not know the next time I'll be able to do like a proper tour. So if you're kind of close, I would say come through, and I'm giving free stuff to people who come to the show. I'm giving more free stuff to people who come from other countries to the show.
Nice.
So come on through. I also recently announced some other U.S. dates. So August 14th, I'll be in St. Louis. August 18th, I'll be in Kansas City. Also be at Enchanticon between those dates, which is in St. Louis, August 15th through 17th. And then September 13th, I'll be in Providence. And September 28th, I will be in Pittsburgh. So of those four shows, St. Louis and Pittsburgh are just TNO, since I've performed there before. And then Kansas City and Providence are both half and half shows, since I've never performed there before. Cool. So you can get tickets to everything, Zurich shows, US shows, whatever, at shubs.es/tour.
And as that was happening, I was checking my phone to see if the Cubs are playing in St. Louis on those dates in August. They are not, but, you know, baseball reference.
Baseball reference. Yeah, I should see who the Birds are playing, because perhaps I will attend a game, or the Royals.
It pains me to say this, but it is a very nice stadium.
I went the last time I did shows in St. Louis, Johnny and I planned it around when the Yankees finally actually got to play the Cardinals, because it was like the first time it was supposed to happen was the 2020 season, and then COVID happened, and then things changed, and blah, blah, blah. So I went, the Yankees lost every game that we went to. We got swept. We went to all three games.
Yeah, I've been there.
But it's a cool part.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I got. So with that concluded, do we have an NBQ&A?
We do have an NBQ&A. This is a fun one. And I think it might be fun to expand into like a full three-on-three or that sort of thing. But the question is from a fan of ours from Iceland. And I'll be honest, I'm not confident enough to say this name without doing a really bad job. The spelling is J-O with an umlaut, K-U-L-L. Yokel?
I would guess like maybe Yukel? Because I think like Dennis Schroeder, I don't know if Icelandic does it different than Germany, but I think like an O umlaut in German is like ooh, so maybe it's Yukel? That would be my guess. Let us know.
It's possible. If you want to send us a brief voice note or something and clarify, we'll say it on a future episode. But in any case, the question was, hey, Mike and Adam, I'm from Iceland and I love your podcast. I am listening now while I study for final exams. Sounds like some low grades incoming. Stop listening to us and wait till after. Just kidding. Hope you do great. I think it would be fun to hear you guys make an NBA dream team for other sports like football, American football, volleyball, and other sports. Anyway, much love from Iceland. Now, I think I know what they mean by that, but I'm going to interpret it how I want to, which is imagining which NBA players or WNBA players would be really good at other sports.
I think that's what the intent of the question is.
For the purposes of discussing it right now, and again, this is something that we could expound upon, but let's go with the consensus greatest basketball player currently playing. I'm going to say LeBron, just for career, not like he's the best in the game right now, but you get what I'm saying. Which sports would LeBron be good and bad at? Like right off the bat, American football, I think he'd be very good. Baseball, mm-hmm. not as good. But you never know. Aaron Judge is a gigantic person.
Yeah. I feel like anything running, jumping wise, especially utilizing the body, which is why American football makes a lot of sense. I feel like rugby is similar enough mm-hmm. where that could work. I think just by size and leaping ability, I feel like he'd be good at volleyball as well.
Yes. Yeah. That checks out.
I could even see him. I could even see him being like a good soccer goalie, just from like quick reflexes and stuff.
That yeah, that makes sense because there's other players that I could think of, like a Steve Nash or someone who actually I think did play soccer fairly yes. competitively. Who it's like, oh, I could easily see that translate, and he's got the hair for it. I mean, he's got the mm-hmm. the little string thing yeah. that sometimes you wear when your hair gets long. You need mm-hmm. that, I feel like, if you're a soccer player. So thinking about LeBron, though, yeah, like there's some things that it's just hard to conceive of. Like, I can't really picture LeBron James skiing, which is not to say that he's not a great skier. It's just like not something that I would assume he would do. And I think like the bigger you are, sometimes things become more challenging, whereas in other sports, they work to your advantage. But like, okay, let's go on the other side. Caitlin Clark, right? Maybe one of the most famous women's basketball players right now. I feel like she has like soccer player vibes, but maybe it's just the hair and like the way her footwork.
Yeah. I think because you'll see a lot of NBA players, at least, who are good at 3-point shooting, good at golf or other like muscle memory related
Steph
sports.
Steph is very good at golf. There's been many.
Right.
Jordan was
so
a
I could
golfer.
See Caitlin being good at golf. I could also see someone like Caitlin Clark being good at tennis because that's another like muscle memory one. And then also like it's a lot of lateral shuffling. Mm-hmm. That's why I was usually pretty good with basketball and tennis. There's actually like a lot of crossover you as well. Like with the side to side movement that you do on defense in basketball feels very similar to like what you have to do playing tennis. Same thing with like lots of like quick backpedaling and stuff.
Right.
So I feel like I'm going to say like people who are really good at defense are going to and can shoot three. So like your 3-and-D wings, I think are actually going to be like very solid tennis players. Mm. And then maybe more of the like 3-point specialists are going to be good golfers. And then I think anyone that is like got high leaping ability and good defensive intuition is going to be a great soccer goalie.
Funny enough, I actually think I saw some footage of Caitlin Clark golfing at like a charity outing and she looked very natural. Like, I don't know if she grew up golfing or she's just a freak athlete and would be good at anything that you threw in front of her. But that's a fun question. That would be a cool exercise. I would have to like narrow down what exactly the objective was, but like athletes who you think could transition from basketball to another professional sport and which sport it would be. So I'll have to think about that, but good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some players have done it, like Chase Budinger, who played in the NBA, who was like a solid kind of like vet, no one like earth shatteringly good at basketball. He was on the Olympic volleyball team this past Olympics.
So cool.
I think it's like a 2-person beach volleyball team. Mm-hmm. So like clearly it can work. And like, I feel like any NBA player could play handball and be amazing. Like, I don't think anyone would not be able to make at least the American team because our team is not as good as some of these other countries who like legitimately play handball.
As for curling, who can say? Maybe SGA. He's Canadian.
I don't know. Any team that gets a sweep would be good.
Nice. Well done.
All righty. Shall we get on to Full Court Press? Get it like the news.
Okay. So we're recording this on Thursday, May 15th. And we are down to the final 6 teams. By the time you're listening to this, that will have been narrowed down more. But here is what we know for sure. The Indiana Pacers are through to the Eastern Conference Finals. They defeated the Cavaliers, I would say, fairly easily in 5 games.
Yeah, injuries, but
yes. And on the other side of things, the Timberwolves have also dispatched the Golden State Warriors in 5 games as well. Talk about injuries. Obviously, the big story there.
Injuries,
Steph Curry, unavailable for most of the series.
Singular injury is really
exactly.
The tale there.
But that means 2 consecutive years for both the Pacers and the Timberwolves getting to the conference finals. Obviously, neither of them made it through those respective series last year, but we shall see. Now, on the other side of things, in the Western Conference, we have the Thunder and the Nuggets, which, again, I mean, Nuggets-Clippers are probably the best series of the first round. I think Nuggets-Thunder is, like, clearly the best series of the second round matchups. It's been really, really entertaining. We'll break it down further, but heading into tonight as we record this, the Nuggets are back home for game six. They've got a chance to win it and send it to seven. I hope we do that because it's possible it's the only game seven that we get in this round. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins that. And then on the other side of things, the Knicks are up 3-2 on the Celtics. A lot has happened in that series. Unfortunately, Jason Tatum tore his Achilles. That was a really ugly situation. He is out not only for the playoffs, but probably for the next 12 months. However, the Celtics won last night pretty handily back home in Boston. The Knicks have a chance to close it out in New York, and they probably need to. I don't think they want to go back to Boston for a game seven. So let's start with the definites, all right? Let's talk a little bit about Pacers, Cavs. What are your impressions of that series?
It sucks that the Cavs had to deal with injuries. Like, they had a whole bunch of injured dudes. I don't think that is fully telling the tale just because the Pacers did play really well. But then you just had some of the dudes on the Cavs underperforming. Max Strus didn't play super well. Ty Jerome didn't play super well.
Speaking of Max Strus, he sent a text to his teammates before game five saying something like, if you don't think we can win this thing, don't even show up. Which, I like the message. He then proceeded to go 0-for-9 from the field. Zero field goals made. And the Cavs lost. So, you know, I appreciate the intention, but not a great job of backing it up.
Not great. Not what you want.
No.
But I do feel it stinks when you have, like, the injuries clouding over it. But I would love to give a shout out to Mike Schubert from the first episode we did preseason discussing the season, or at least like one of the first 2 weeks when the Cavs are off to a hot start. And I said, I don't trust the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs. And lo and behold,
I think a lot of people felt that way. And I even think some people feel that way about the Thunder, despite the fact that I do think the Thunder are a more complete team. But it's one of those things where, like, you can be a great regular season team, but until you've proven anything in the playoffs, nobody's really buying into the fact that you're going to get through some of these teams with more experience and more of that, like, playoff pedigree. And the Pacers are one of those teams.
For the Thunder, it's like, oh, they're young if they don't make it through. For the Cavs, it's like, oh, they're soft, which is interesting because they have, like, veteran dudes like Donovan Mitchell. So it's an interesting, like, different excuse thing. Like the Rockets, for example, another team that I predicted would not make it out of the first round in December to my brother-in-law.
But it's just because they're young.
It's just they're young. Yeah. So they lost to a very experienced Golden State Warriors team. The Cavs, the whole question is like, can Donovan Mitchell get it done? And then there's the drama of either intentional or not. It's a big question mark of is this drama or is this coincidence? He wore a sweater or a sweatshirt to like not the post game press conference, but the like press conference the day after, like the end of season media availability kind of thing. And it was an Adidas sweatshirt. He's repped by Adidas that had like a dictionary definition of a point guard. And he's done that before in the case of trying to be spicy. He did that when it was him versus Ben Simmons for Rookie of the Year. And it was this whole big thing of like, well, Ben Simmons, you know, got to the league, then had a season-ending injury before the season started, didn't ever actually play, and then, you know, his second year was really his rookie year because he didn't touch the court, and then he won Rookie of the Year. But a claim that Donovan and a lot of other people made is like, well, even though he didn't play, like, he was still, like, around the team and getting coaching and training and all this other stuff, so, like, he's still at an advantage over Donovan Mitchell, who just, like, was in college, was in the NBA. So he wore this hoodie that had a dictionary definition of a rookie, and it was very much this sassy thing of, like, he's not really a rookie. I'm the rookie. I should be the Rookie of the Year. So with him wearing a point guard thing, it was like, is this a shot at Darius Garland, his teammate? Because Garland was hurt for almost the entire series, and then, like, was there for game five, which they lost, but, like, he was clearly, like, playing on one leg and did his best, didn't shoot particularly well, but, like, he was trying to keep their season alive.
You'd like
alive.
To think that it wasn't that. I don't know. I don't feel like I've heard anything about Mitchell being a bad teammate.
No, and some people who are Cavs fans said, oh, he's worn this hoodie in post-game press conferences before, so it seems like he just likes this hoodie. But, yeah, other people are like, how do you not think about this before. Right. Like, when your only to-do for that day is to go to the media, like, you should maybe think about right. your outfit. But is it weirdly, like, a compliment to Darius Garland? Like, we lost the series because we didn't have our point guard? Or is it like...
Has anyone asked him?
I don't know. I just saw people, like, hubbubbing about it. I'm yeah. in, like, weird time zone mode where all I can do is, like, watch the replays of the Knicks games, like, the second I get up. Mm-hmm. And then I can't look at my phone because people will text me either positive things or negative things based on what happens. So I've been, like, kind of out on some of the news.
Yeah, you can't possibly get out in front of all the people who could potentially text you. It's not possible.
When we won game four, I woke up. I intentionally didn't check my phone until after I'd watched the replay of the game. And I had 34 text messages.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, when we lost game five, I had two.
Well, yeah, that also checks out. It's like tabs versus your tabs. That's the corollary there.
Of course. And the thing, like, all in all, Pacers earned it. They are very good. Tyrese Haliburton shut up all the people who called him overrated. Mm-hmm. He won the poll of NBA players that he was the most overrated. And they polled 90 players anonymously, and like over 10% voted him the most overrated. And he shut people up. He hit game winners and made clutch shots and clutch plays. And the Pacers are good.
Celebration for which he got warned.
Did a big ball. I don't know if he got... Oh, he didn't get fined, just warned?
Didn't get fined, just warned.
Good. Correct. That's what we should do. We should be allowed to say, when you have a big balls moment, you should be able to tell the truth. So
agreed.
I am shout out to the Pacers, and we'll just have to see if they can pull it off.
Yeah.
And if my team makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I hope they don't. And if the Celtics do, Pacers in four.
Totally. Now let's go to the other. We'll get back to the Knicks because there's a lot more to unpack. But in terms of the other series that is completed as of this recording, the Timberwolves beat the Warriors in five, and really the story of it, credit to the Timberwolves for obviously showing up and getting it done, but as soon as Steph Curry went out and it was clear that he was going to be out for, if not the whole series, a big chunk of it, you knew that the Warriors were pretty much cooked. So
yeah,
there's really not much to say about that series other than the Wolves did exactly what they should have done, which is take advantage of playing a lesser team. That what really bums me out, just as a basketball fan and as a guy whose team is, you know, nowhere near the playoffs, I just want to see great games. I want to see great matchups. I want to see the stars playing, and to not get, I mean, we got what part of one game of Steph Curry mm-hmm. versus Anthony Edwards, and then it was over. And the valiant effort from the Warriors. I mean, they hung in there for as long as they could, but it did not seem feasible for them to beat a Wolves team that was, I would say, if not better than them, at the very least equal to them. And then you remove your best player from the equation, it's just not going to happen.
No, and it's really sad, like, across this whole playoffs, and this is, like, the second round has kind of been, like, the story of injuries, but even, like, you look into some of the first round, like, every team has been dealing with injuries, and you've got, like, the Cavs series, a bunch of dudes injured, the Celtics and Knicks series, Tatum ruptures his Achilles, and Sam Hauser's been out, like, the whole series. I don't think he's played yet against us. The Warriors have the Steph.
I thought it was because he had been, like, taken out of the rotation, but is it because he's injured?
He's injured. And like, honestly, he would have created matchup problems for the Knicks. But then Steph gets hurt for the Warriors. And it just stinks that, like, you know, we had some stuff in the first round as well. Like, Dame being hurt for the Bucks. Like, you're just having more and more people being hurt. And it just keeps bringing up the thing that, like, we all know should happen, but will never happen because the owners want more money because they're all terrible billionaire people. Mm-hmm. But, like, the games are too many. People keep getting hurt in the playoffs. Like, it's down to, it needs to go down by significant numbers. Like, it shouldn't be more than 70. I think it should be like 65 or less. Like, it should be something where, like, just play every team twice, something. And just, it's just really unfortunate because we just, like, exactly like you're saying, you want to see the best players playing in the most meaningful games. And it just feels like this happens year after year after year, especially recently. It's just what team is good and also not that badly hurt is who wins the title.
And with Steph, it's at least something where it's a hamstring pull, which I don't want to say it's not serious, but it's something that, like, he would have come back from eventually.
Right, it's like 10 days.
But with Damian Lillard and Jason Tatum, we're talking about stuff that, especially for Lillard at his age, is absolutely a career-threatening injury. I mean, Kobe was never the same guy after he tore his Achilles when he did. Yeah. And Jason Tatum, obviously younger, but Man, of all of the, if you could pick from horrible injuries, I think torn Achilles is probably pretty high on that list of worst things to experience. And the really bummer part about it was the Knicks were going to win that game anyway. The Knicks didn't win that game because Tatum got hurt. The game was already in the bag. But, you know, it happens at the end of a game where Tatum was dominant. I mean, he was the only reason that the Celtics were as close as they were. And it's also pretty wild that in the Knicks' three victories in this first round, they've trailed by at least 14 in all of them and by 20 in the first two. But yeah, seeing him, because when he was on the ground, like writhing around, at first my hope was like, oh, he must have like landed on somebody's ankle. But then as soon as you see it's a non-contact thing, you know, like something's seriously wrong here. And
yeah,
not to make too much fun of Paul Pierce, you know, there's a lot of joking about him not needing a wheelchair. Jason Tatum absolutely needed a wheelchair. And that I almost wish they hadn't even shown that. I mean, he's like screaming in agony in the hallway. And I would assume it's a combination of like actual physical pain and also the emotional anguish of realizing in that moment, like your season's done, your next season's probably done. The amount of rehab that awaits you, like that's tough.
And it's also this weird thing where it has ripple effects of the Celtics are in the situation of we can't really pay everybody.
Yeah.
But like maybe we try to keep most of the team together for like one final run and then we blow it up and or not even blow it up, but just like trade off some of the more expensive contracts because the owners aren't going to want to pay this super duper luxury tax. Now it's like, they might do it earlier. So like weirdly, the Celtics who are in this amazing position, if you're a Celtics fan or if you're anyone else on earth, you're disappointed that you're like, damn, the Celtics are going to be like the number one contender for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, well, they might, you know, trade off some dudes, wait till Tatum's back and like not really be the top dog anymore. They still could be because they're so deep, but it just completely changes the landscape of the franchise. So he's probably feeling that too.
Weirdly though, and I hope that the Knicks win, but I do feel like the Tatum injury kind of puts the Celtics in this position where they can play very loose and free because nobody thinks that they're supposed to win. They've lost their star player. At this point, it's like, well, the Knicks were up 3-1. Tatum gets hurt. It's like almost a foregone conclusion. Well, the Knicks, I guess, are moving on to the next round, but the Celtics are still a very deep team. And if anybody could withstand a star being injured, I would say they're among the teams best equipped to handle it in a way that a team like the Warriors is not. So what is your confidence level? Obviously, people are going to be listening to this in retrospect, but like, do you feel like for the Knicks, it's they've got to win game six or they're in trouble? Like, where are you at confidence wise?
I feel like we should certainly win game six because I worry about a game seven because I worry that like the Knicks would get in their own head. The Tatum injury, obviously he's their best player, but I agree with you in that it can be freeing for them to just kind of like do whatever. The biggest reason that we won games one and two when we were down by 20, which like we should talk about my viewing experience with those games.
Yeah.
It was because they got in their heads and they were just like missing shots. Like, yes, we're defending them well, but like in game two, especially, they're just like missing a bunch of open threes. And that's like a mental thing. That's getting into the like, we're supposed to beat these guys. Oh no. And that's kind of gone. And then also like a thing that happened with game four, I feel like game four is the first time the Knicks played like truly well. Like games one and two, we stayed in it. Game three, which I was in attendance for, we played like poop, and that's good because I spent lots of money to be there. Game four, we like actually played really well. Like we shot like 60 something percent from the field in the second half. Jalen Brunson didn't miss anything. Like it was a nuts performance.
I don't know what sort of secret stuff Jalen Brunson is drinking at halftimes, but I swear he comes out and he's like a different player sometimes.
He's clutch, man. He's clutch. But yeah, I think like game four, we truly just started playing well. But also, personally, Peyton Pritchard, we just have no answer for the guy. And for whatever reason, Joe Mazzulla was not playing him a lot of minutes in game four. And I think that worked to our advantage. With Tatum out, Pritchard is basically like taking his minutes. And I don't like that. Because when I was at game three, Pritchard was freaking cooking us. And I was very upset about it because it was just like, what do we do? And then in game four, when they weren't playing him as much, I was like, this is fantastic. And now the game five happens and it's just like, oh no, he played a lot. Ugh. I mean, but also like, are you going to get a 7-block Luke Kornet game every game? No. I'm not sure. So I think there is also...
But are you also going to get a game where Mitch Robinson hits his first 6 free throws? Who saw that coming?
Look, he's in the gym, baby. He's in the gym. The garden went nuts when he finally made some in game three. We went bonkers so when he made some. But yeah, I also think there's like a lot of times when a big star goes down, the next game, the team is like, yeah, let's go. Like, I did not feel very confident about the Knicks winning game five just because, like, the Celtics are all going to rally together. I hope that, like, that energy has cooled off and they're home in New York. So I really hope we win game six. I feel more confident about game six than I do about game seven, but I also don't feel confident about anything because I'm a New York Knicks fan and I know better. So we're going to see how it goes. I'm going to keep wearing all my Knicks stuff on game days like I have been doing here in Switzerland and just doing all of my superstitious routines and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully we can come through. But like, I mean, the first two games were electric. Just being up 2-0 on the team that we were supposed to lose to.
And coming back from 20 points.
Just delicious.
In the third quarter.
I mean, and not just 20 points in the third quarter, but the first game, it was like 6 minutes left in the third quarter. And then the second game, there was like 3 minutes and 40 something seconds left. And we were down by 20. That is insane. Yeah. And we just stayed in it. And the Celtics shot their way out of it. And it was just ridiculous. And the first game I watched like the first, and we talked about this like super in depth. We did a Patreon like check-in halfway between these two episodes. So if you want to see like super duper in-depth thoughts, but like the first game, I was really nervous and I ended up just like watching my computer and it was like in complete shock. Second game, I had a friend come over and we watched it and it was just like similar kind of thing, like kind of half watching it in the first half because we're so out of it. And then once it started to like creep back in, it was slowly like, all right, let's lock in and just watch the game. And then when we finally did win with the dramatic Mikal Bridges block to seal it, the baby's asleep, so I'm doing like
silent yelling.
My dad calls, so then I go into the hallway and I'm like, Dad, yeah, let's go. But still, I'm like nervous about it. So then I had to like go outside my apartment. Like I took the elevator downstairs, walked out, and then was just like, let's go, and like screamed.
Amazing.
And just like erupted into the streets of New York. I mean, it was just absurd. It just like truly, like we weren't supposed to win a game, and the fact that we won the first two, like the first one, it's like, okay, cool, we won the first game, but like all right, you know, this might be it. And then we win game two and it's like,
we might have something here.
No. Like, yeah, 1-0 was like, okay, yeah, fun if we win the second game, but like, come on, it's the Celtics. And they'd be kicking our butt every game this whole season from the beginning. Like, we played them in the opener and they stomped us. And it was just like, you just fear that. I remember being so excited for the season and then getting destroyed. And when you go up 2-0, then it's like, no. And then when you win game four, it's like, oh my God. And I have to give a lot of credit to Celtics fans, especially famous ones like Bill Simmons. No one, like you were saying earlier, no one is crediting game four to the fact that Tatum got injured. Like, we just played really well. And we were like,
oh no. But I mean, he literally got injured in the last minute of the game.
Something like that. So for us to, like, obviously, it would be, you always want to beat the team at their full strength. You never want anyone to get hurt. Like, of course, it would be cooler to, if we do win, beat the full strength Celtics. But let's just look, if we make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, it'll be the first time we've done it in like 25 years. It's just like truly absurd. And it will be electric. And it's just nuts.
Yeah.
It would be very cool. And I'm just so happy for some of the like narratives around the Knicks, like that people would just say all this stuff. And I'm a very patient fan. And I've never given up on Mikal Bridges all year. And I've never given up on Tom Thibodeau's ability to adjust, because he seems like a very stubborn guy in the regular season. But in the playoffs, like, he changes defensive strategy and it worked. And Mikal Bridges has been balling the hell out all playoffs. So like the resounding cry of fuck them picks, the five picks that we traded to get him. Everyone's always like, oh, five first round picks. Like, yes, five first round picks. He's been so worth it. And it's been really fun to see like people be hyped about it. Timothy Chalamet skipping the Met Gala to go to the game. Like, it's the vibes are great. We can't count our chickens before hatch. No. Everyone's like, oh, Knicks, Pacers, ECF, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we do need to win. The Celtics are still very good, even without Tatum.
Yeah.
Let's get the win, and then we can talk about next steps. Can't put the cart in front of the horse.
I think the Pacers are probably feeling pretty good right now, because at the very least, they're going to have more rest than whoever they play. And it kind of feels like if the Celtics somehow pull this off and they beat the Knicks in seven, it'll be like they've used all of their energy to do that, and then we'll not have enough left in the tank to really give the Pacers a good series. Like, if the Celtics somehow win against the Knicks, I would say Pacers in like 5 or 6 at the most. If the Knicks win, then I think you've got yourself a really interesting series because theoretically...
You got yourselves a Knicks in 4, baby.
I wouldn't hate it at all, but we'll see. Now let's go over to the other side of things where the Nuggets and Thunder are in a very, very close series. There've been a couple blowouts, but like largely it has been very close. The most recent game, as we record this, game 5, was an amazing back and forth where like the Thunder went up 3, Jokic hit a genuinely absurd 3-pointer, like back to the basket, 40-foot arc, just absurd. Then the Thunder end up coming back. They hit a 3. They go up bigger. So they get it done at home. I really, really hope that series goes 7. I just feel like it deserves a game 7.
Me too.
It wouldn't shock me if the Thunder somehow end it tonight. But either way, we're looking at either Thunder Wolves or Nuggets Wolves. And I think in both cases, those are very fun series to watch. So I'm sure Adam Silver and everybody at the NBA would rather the Lakers were still in it or, you know, some of the higher profile teams, but I'm pretty excited about any of the potential iterations of this.
Yeah, not only would the basketball be good, but like Thunder Wolves sounds cool, as does Wolves Nuggets. Like both of those things just like sound like cool items that I would like.
Thunder Wolves sound
I
badass.
Do Thunder Wolves sounds like a minor powerful. League baseball team. And Wolf Nuggets I want to eat. Yeah, oh yeah. But I feel like it's been a really interesting series because like the first one was like game one was when the Thunder made the weird coaching decisions, like fouling up. And then you have the, yes. That was the Aaron Gordon 3-1, right? And then was it game 3 where it like was super back and forth and went to overtime. And then the Nuggets just like steamrolled them in overtime. And that was like clearly the, like the veteran presence is coming through game. And then you had the other one where it was like,
well, they are the Denver steamed Nuggets after all. Steamrolling, you know.
Hey, but then you have the other one, I think game 5 that the Nuggets lost. It was like Jokic was destroying and then just like lost all his steam at the end of the game. So there have been like so many different games in this series that it's been very fascinating. Whereas like the Knicks and Celtics, the first two games were like weirdly exact repeats of each other, which was very weird. So yeah, it's been a really fun series. It's very much like narratively fun where you have the two leading MVP candidates going head to head. You have like, oh, it's the young team that's unproven, but they were so good. And you know, should they be able to keep it together even though they're so young and inexperienced? And then the Nuggets are like, felt like an underwhelming season, but they have so much experience and they won a championship. Like now's their time to shine. And it's kind of like both of those things have kind of been happening. Like the Thunder have kind of been underplaying and the Nuggets have kind of been overplaying. And it's been a really fun matchup. And I agree with you. Whoever plays the Timberwolves will be fun and there'll be drama no matter what. So I also hope it goes to 7. Also because with the Knicks not out of contention, I need every Western Conference series to go 7 games and each game to go into 7 overtimes, because I would love for whatever team gets out of the West, if the Knicks are so fortunate to get past the Celtics, and then if the Knicks are so fortunate to get past the Pacers, I would love the Western Conference team to be very tired and bedraggled.
Bedraggled. Wow. Well, your pick of Knicks Thunder still very much alive.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
And I'm pretty sure I
That's
picked
ridiculous.
Celtics Wolves.
Ooh.
I feel like Wolves were a good pick out of the
Wolves,
six.
It's a fun, sneaky
seed.
Pick.
Celtics looking tenuous, and for your sake, I hope that doesn't happen. But
sure, I feel like no matter what, like we have some lower seeds here in the conference finals on each side, so that's fun. Upsets if you're going by the seeding. So it's been a really fun playoff. I hate that injuries have kind of made some of the series less exciting, but it's been really fun watches. Obviously, I'm having a great time with the Knicks one.
Yeah.
We'll see how it turns out, but it's been a good playoffs, and I don't know what we do to fix the injuries if we're not going to reduce the number of games. Like maybe, personally, I know this is not everyone. I like when there's more time in between the games because, like, I don't mind having to like have a day where I can't watch basketball. So in the second round, when it's like every other game, like maybe we spread it out to where those people get more rest and stuff, because then maybe there'll be less injuries.
Maybe, but I feel like the playoffs are already 2.5 months. Like how much further can you spread
it
out?
But I'm the type of person where like I don't care if it's year-round basketball, right? But they won't do it. Like they'll never do it. But
one final thing that I think is cool, and I want to be clear, I am actually genuinely rooting for the Knicks just in general, because I'm a Bulls fan, but like I'm also a New Yorker, and it's been a cool story.
Yeah,
But three of the six teams still involved as we record this have never won a championship, right? The Oklahoma City Thunder, even when they were the... I don't think they won as the Sonics, but they sure as hell haven't won as the Thunder.
They won as the Sonics.
Yeah, they did. But the Oklahoma City has not ever won.
It's like 93?
A championship. They've made it to the finals, but they've never won. The Timberwolves, I believe, have never even made it to the finals. And then the Pacers have also not won, unless I'm mistaken here. I don't want to be misreporting information, but...
So the Sonics won in 1979, and then the Pacers, I don't think they ever have. I think they only made it to...
And I'm almost sure the Wolves have never even gotten to the finals.
Yeah, so the Pacers made it to the 2000 finals.
Then lost to the Lakers.
And they... Yes, so they have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals many
times. But the Bulls were always in their way.
But they kept getting stomped by the Bulls. Yeah, similar tale of the Knicks. So,
and I don't think the Wolves have ever made it to the finals. I think a lot of people thought they would beat the Mavs last year, and obviously that didn't happen because notoriously terrible basketball player Luka Doncic led his team to the finals. But
that's a good transition.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up by talking about the NBA draft lottery. So this is not unprecedented.
Yeah.
We've talked about the frozen envelope before, where people believe that the Knicks, secretly got the Patrick Ewing pick handed to them. But
as a Knicks fan, the frozen envelope 1,000% happened. It was I am not a conspiracy theorist by any means, as you will soon hear, because I don't think this one is rigged. I am a firm believer that the frozen envelope is real.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But here's the thing. I need this particular draft lottery to be rigged because the knowledge that the Bulls were a coin flip away from having Cooper Flagg is haunting me. And so I need to believe.
And who else were the Bulls a coin flip away from that I sent you the message about? There was someone else they were a coin flip away from.
I don't recall. But I know that what I keep hearing is that the Bulls were a millimeter away from lucking their way into that number one pick, which frankly would have been reminiscent of when they got Derrick Rose, which was also a less than 2% chance of them winning the lottery that year.
The Bulls were a coin flip away from getting the number two pick in the Doncic draft, but knowing the Bulls at that time, they would not have drafted Luka Doncic. You would have taken Marvin Bagley the third.
He whose name must not be spoken.
So, I think it's okay. But yeah, there was some wild stuff in the draft lottery. I would recommend, if anyone is interested in how it went down, listen to not the most recent by the time you're listening to this, but there's an episode of Zach Lowe's new podcast with The Ringer, The Zach Lowe Show, where he went to it. He's gone to the past 10 because he thinks it's this silly, ridiculous thing. And he gave a very in-depth discussion about what went down with Bill Simmons, and he gets into how it works. They use ping pong ball, lottery ball type things, and all these different iterations, and numbers mean different permutations of the results, and blah 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 blah. So if you want to get super into the weeds of it, I would highly recommend listening to that episode. It was fascinating. But the basic summary is that you don't guaranteed get the worst pick if you're the worst team. They have flattened the lottery odds even more so than what they used to be, but it's just you have certain percentage chances, and the worst teams have the highest chance of getting the number one pick, but it's not a guarantee, and teams can move up.
And it was all done in the interest of preventing teams from tanking, which is how it still is in other sports. In the NFL, the worst team by default gets the best pick. And so it kind of incentivizes you if you're already, two-thirds of the way through the season and you suck. It really behooves you to keep losing because you know that you're going to get that pick. So I guess the way to think about it, if we've never explained this before, is if you're the worst team in basketball, was it the Wizards, I guess?
Yeah, I think so.
You would theoretically have the most ping pong balls in play, which would give you the highest chance of one of your balls being the number one pick ball. But there's also some things left to chance, and that is what happened, allegedly.
I think I like the flattening odds thing. I think there's some unfortunate things that happen where stuff I'm more upset about the Spurs getting the number two pick than I am of the Mavs getting the number one pick, because the Spurs only were this bad because Wemby got hurt, and then they kind of gave up on the year. And now they've had the number one pick, the number, what do they have with Castle? The three pick, and then now the number two pick. And they've had back-to-back Rookie of the Year winners. I don't think Dylan Harper is going to overtake Flagg, but he's very good. So that feels almost like they didn't deserve it. Obviously, the Mavs didn't, but like when you have such a low chance, it's just kind of like whatever. But here's what happened. The Mavs, if we're going based on like where they ranked in terms of worst team of the year and like what pick they actually got, the, you know, when we're saying that they jumped spots, it's like what they would have gotten if there was no randomness. The Mavs jumped 10 spots to number one, so 11th worst, but then they get the number one pick. The Spurs jumped six spots to get the number two. The Sixers jumped two spots, which was especially spicy because they could have lost their pick. I think if it was below six, it would have gone to the Thunder, and that would have been nuts if the Thunder got a top 10 pick. And then the Hornets actually went down one. So they're the third worst. They got the four pick. The Jazz was the worst team. They went down four.
They got screwed.
So they got the five pick. The Wizards, they were the second worst. They went down four. Now, the Jazz and the Wizards both did commit crimes against the sport of basketball by just like absolutely being atrocious. I think the Jazz more so than the Wizards, because the Wizards at least just like had a really bad team and were bad. The Jazz sat Lauri Markkanen so much that the NBA fined them for doing so as like blatant tanking. So they go down. The Jazz are the fifth pick now. The Wizards are the sixth pick. The Pelicans, also just like drama filled and injury riddled, they went down three for the seventh pick. The Nets went down two to the eighth pick. The Raptors, who also committed crimes against basketball, went down two to be the ninth pick. Rockets down with the Suns pick. They're the 10th. And then the Blazers down one pick to the 11th. And then everything else is kind of like straightforward. That all happened with all the reshuffling and stuff because three teams that weren't in the top three worst got the top three picks. And now you have the Mavs getting a generational superstar and a bunch of people thinking that the lottery is rigged. I don't think so, though. I don't think so. People are going like wild with the conspiracy.
I was kind of fanning the flames a little bit. I posted something on Patreon. Maybe it was just me being salty, but it feels too convenient that Nico Harrison would do this move that is widely panned, but also is like what the NBA would want, which is moving a top five player to one of the premier teams in the league, being the Lakers, to ostensibly take LeBron's place once he leaves. And it feels like the sort of thing where if you're willing to believe in conspiracies, and it's almost certainly not the case, it would kind of make sense that Adam Silver had this backdoor deal with Nico Harrison. Like, everyone's going to hate you and criticize you and think you're an idiot, but I'm going to pull some strings and make sure you get Cooper Flagg. Here's why that doesn't make sense if I'm being rational.
Yeah.
Adam Silver did not injure Kyrie Irving. He did not injure Anthony Davis.
And Anthony Davis.
In a world where those players, and I can't remember the timing of the Kyrie, like, was Kyrie already hurt when they made the Luka trade?
Knows after. That's what debunks the whole thing.
Because in a world where those players don't get injured, the Mavs absolutely make the playoffs and they're not even involved in the lottery anyway. So like it's not really realistic, but it is a funny thing where I still think Mavs fans hate Nico, and it's not like they're going to give him credit for something that was luck anyway, but it has kind of worked out well for the Mavs.
Yeah. It's a weird thing where like you could believe in the conspiracy. I think if you try to say like it's a backdoor kind of thing where like, oh, get, you know, this deal that happened, like Adam Silver made the trade happen. No, absolutely not. Because it would be contingent on this injury. These two injuries, no way. Yes, you can bank on AD getting hurt. You can't bank on Kyrie getting hurt. So that's ridiculous. Now, if you want to believe the conspiracy that like they did it very recently as a way to kind of like save the Mavs franchise from turmoil and all these fans who were giving up on the team and saying they're never going to watch a basketball game again, that's more believable. But I still don't think they can do it. And it's a point that was brought up recently on some of the podcasts I was listening to that I think really kind of solidifies that it's not rigged for me, is that the NBA draft lottery is like verified by a third party group, Ernst & Young, like EY, that company. And they do like really important things. Like,
yeah, they're big four. This is not your mom and pop accounting firm. This is like the big boys. These are people who do like the Oscars.
Yeah, they do like proper stuff. They're a big deal company. The NBA is just one of their clients. Like, they're a big freaking deal, huge corporation. locations all over the globe.
Yeah.
If any word ever got out that their thing with the NBA was illegitimate, it would completely torch their entire business, and like billions upon billions upon billions of dollars would get flushed down the toilet. I don't think they would do that. So yes, there's all these things where you're like, well, the Bulls got Derrick Rose and the Hornets got Anthony Davis after, you know, the league owned the team and all this stuff. I just think, and there's some people who do this on Reddit every year, it's so easy to like pick a team that is why it was rigged for them. If the Hornets won this year, it'd be like, oh, of course, the Duke guy goes to the Carolina team. Like, there's all these sorts of things. If the Sixers won it, it's like, the Paul George thing blew up and we got to save the franchise. They were going to make the new arena. Yeah. Like, there's all these different things that you can do for every single team. If the Nets won it, they'd be like, they're trying to make New York have two relevant franchises because they wanted to be like the Clippers and the Lakers. Like, it's just, you can do it.
Well, it's easier to blame a conspiracy theory than to accept reality. I think that's kind of like what it comes down to ultimately. There's a comedian I know who has a very funny joke about like how believing in astrology is just a sign of your privilege. Like if your life is so good that the only thing you can come up with for why things go wrong is like, well, the stars hate me. It's like, well, then things are probably not that bad. But I think it's kind of that thing too. It's like, I would love to have some sort of conspiracy for why the Bulls are bad, but I think it's just because they're a poorly run organization.
Yeah. So it's all fun to play the conspiracy game. I don't think it is. I think it's just an unfortunate set of circumstances where the Mavs got this number one pick. And as we said at the top, I am happy for Mavs fans because what happened to them absolutely sucked. I am not happy for Nico Harrison because he does not deserve to have a relief. Like, he deserves to look as awkward and uncomfortable as he did for making such a bad, foolish decision. He should have to live with the ramifications, and now he won't have to.
Yeah, it bails him out. But sometimes that's just the way the ping pong ball bounces.
It is how it bounces, and we'll just kind of see. I mean, I feel bad for Jazz fans. I feel bad for Wizards fans because, you know, how else are you going to get this franchise out of the
Not
ground?
Free agency
like,
signings.
No one... That's the problem. Like, it's so hard to get free agency signings, even when, like, you're a good team in a market that is undesirable. Like, the Blazers were so good in the Western Conference for years in the earlier Dame era. And it's just, like, they couldn't get, like, big market dudes. They couldn't even get LaMarcus Aldridge to stay because people were like, oh, I don't want to live in Portland. And it's just, like, Portland's great. I just don't understand. So, like, I truly feel bad for some of the fans like that. But, like Zach Lowe pointed out on his pod, the owners voted like 28-1 to flatten out the odds. So because of that, like you're going to have
one person abstained?
Crap like this that happens. Yes, I believe the Mavericks abstained. The Thunder voted against it because they cited, like Sam Presti was like, this is the only way small market teams get big dudes. And then everyone else voted yes. So like... the change only happened like a handful of years ago. So we kind of have to just like let it go for a while and see how it works out in the aggregate and like look over it over a long period of time. Cause then it'll kind of like shake out, but like stuff's going to happen. And on the flip side, like you have to be able just to like draft good dudes. The Thunder, like their current roster, it's not because they have all number one picks. SGA was like the number 12 pick.
Right.
And Jalen Williams was like the number 7 pick. Like
Jokic was a second round pick.
Right. So like if you just have really good scouting departments and you are bad enough to get into the thing, because if you're one of the worst three teams, I think you like can't drop more than like four spots or something like that. So like if you're gonna be in the top seven, like yes, every draft is gonna be different, but like you can get around.
It's gonna be great players to be had obviously in the top 10, in the first round in general.
And look at like every draft ever where like you go into the draft and you're like, oh man, they're going to get this dude at number 3, blah, blah, blah. And then you fast forward 10 years and you're like, I can't believe they picked this guy at number 3. Right. Like it's every single year. So like, I think the real reason it's one of these things everyone wants to point to, like the odds aren't fair. Like there's never going to be a way to make the most deserving teams get the pick. It is truly impossible unless we had a voting process, which I would love. I would love that. It should actually be something where it should all be narrative based. I would love it for the drama and the spice. Like everyone should have to vote for what team deserves it most, and it should be so chaotic. It'll never happen. So instead,
I think they should have to play ping pong matches against each other to decide who gets the picks. And Anthony Edwards famously claims he's very good at ping pong.
There's all these different like weird things where people try to fix it. The one that I do love, the worst four teams play a tournament against each other. Yes. Give me that. Like more basketball to decide it. Who's hungriest? Like, yes. That kind of thing. Great. All these other things. Totally. No. But if it means like a final four single elimination tournament to get the number of pick, sign me up.
I like it. Forget the in-season tournament. Let's do a postseason bad team tournament to see who gets the number one pick.
Oh my God. Yes.
I think I got something
1000%.
Here. I think
we've
got something here.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Wrap up Full Court Press, a secondary plug to join Patreon right now. And don't wait, because we're getting into the season where the Patreon is going to be very active. I don't want to overcommit either of us to anything. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're around, I think we will do our utmost to do like a game-by-game recap of the finals once we get there. We're probably going to be adding stuff in between this episode and the next one, because by the time you're listening to the episode after this one, I guess we'll be getting close to the finals happening. So if you haven't already, and if you want to join at any tier whatsoever, now's a good time to do that, because there's definitely going to be a lot of bonus stuff going out. But if not, we appreciate you listening. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yep. Let's get into it. Another fun one. Thank you for listening to this episode of Horus. Horus is hosted by Adam Amawala and Mike Schubert. Our editor is Kensei Suramaki. The music is by Bettina Kampamanis. The art is by Alison Wickman. The website is by Kelly Schubert. And the social media is by both of the Horus boys.
Thank you to our producer-level patrons, Polly Bird, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Saying Steph Curry for Three Feels Melancholy.
Bang.
Hi, Allie, Chase Underulo, Naked Rachel, Sidney Crosby is a Vampire, Chelsea's Cousin Ginger, Spurs Boy, Balls to the Walls, Mats Furli, and Utah Jash. Condolences to you on the number 5 pick. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Horse Hoops, and on Twitter at Horse_Hoops, because
Horse Hoops set up the internet at the place we're staying here in Switzerland, and the place we're staying has a sauna in the backyard, and it was going to be perfect audio. Like, it actually dampens the echo really well. And I was going to say, I recorded an episode in a sauna.
Yeah.
And the Wi-Fi doesn't reach the sauna. I'm so upset about it.
But I'll be honest, and no one else can see this, the room that you're in right now also kind of sauna-ish.
It's got the wooden paneling on the ceiling, but unfortunately I'm in a bathroom, so it's like kind of echoey. It's this weird mix of like dampening wood and then bouncy tile. And I was going to be in full like dampening wood. Oh, the vibes are going to be great. There's a couch in there. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be really sad, but alas.
It's also funny to imagine you doing it while using the sauna, as your laptop just gets increasingly hot.
Let the record show, I would not have turned it on. And also the sauna has like there's like the actual like room where the sauna is. And then there's like the room where you like change, and there's a couch and stuff. I would have done it from there, but still electric vibes. But alas, the internet didn't reach. I was so sad.
Anyway, you can go to our website, horsehoops.com, for links to the many, many things we discussed today.
Yes, and if you want to support the Horse Boys, you can go to patreon.com/horsehoops. As mentioned, a lot of bonus stuff there. And also, you can get merch. We have shirts that say Sup Nerds, It's Basketball. They're very soft. They're very cool. We got an artist to do custom lettering and stuff for them. That's at horsehoops.com/merch. That's also where you can get digital merch, which also uses that custom lettering, but on wallpapers. And then there's ringtones and a bunch of other cool stuff. But we're going to conclude this episode by putting our hands in the middle, saying something on the count of three. I don't want to be selfish, but can we put good vibes out there for my beloved New York Knicks?
Yeah, you know what? Let's really embrace it. I believe last time we said get it done. That was in regards to the Knicks beating the Pistons. But in this case, I think just a simple, concise bing bong on three is all we need.
I want to push against bing bong.
You're anti-bing bong.
I want, because I liked that get it done was like direct and it was clear. Want maybe like close it
Knicks
out. Maybe
six.
Like close it out on three.
You don't even want that.
I see, even with Knicks in six, what if we lose? No, because I don't want to like limit it. Like if we do lose game six, I would love to win game seven.
Right.
So I think I would love to say just like close it out on three.
You got it.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Close it out. Please, 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 please. Come on,
baby.
Come on. Please. Come on.
Hey.
Please.
You're close.
Please.
You're close. I hope by the time people listen to this, they will know that your anxiety was all for naught. And the Knicks are getting ready to play the Pacers. Let's put that out there.
It would be really nice. It would be so nice. Gosh, it would be so nice.
I'm wishing for that for you and my many new friends.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Here we go.